Welcome to the One Right Church podcast, where we will discuss what it's like to believe that you attend the only right church. My name is Mark Shaw, and I spent the first 45 years of my life in the Followers of Christ Church in Oregon City, believing I was in the One Right Church. Our hope is that by simply sharing our story, that we would urge people to look to the Bible for answers instead of their religious traditions. We want to encourage people to trust in Jesus for their salvation and not in attending the One Right Church. Let's get started. Hey, Scott.
How you doing, Mark?
Good. So I was thinking this week of what to talk about on the podcast, and I was just
thinking... Do you think about that every week? You probably think about that every week, don't you?
A lot, yes.
Because we kind of have to talk every week, so it's good you think about
that. We do.
So anyway, sorry to interrupt you. What were you thinking about?
Yeah, well, I was thinking that if you could just change one thing, that like if somebody asked me if I could change one thing about the One Right Church or followers or really any other group like it, what would it be? And I think for me it comes down to I would want to change the belief that you have to add something to the work of Jesus for salvation.
Okay. Do you think that is that the way everyone would talk about it, do you think?
At followers, you mean?
Yeah. Is that like the language you would use?
I think I've come up with, thinking about it from being out of there now, I've said on here before, looking back, what would I change about it or what would I hope people would?
And then looking back, that's the way that you understand what you're believing. Right. Yeah. I mean, you weren't really self-conscious, like, oh, I've got Christ for this part and then me for this part or something else for this part. You didn't really think about that then. But now looking back, you see,
right.
You know, we had a little bit of Jesus. We had part of Jesus here.
Yeah.
And then we had all this other stuff. Is that the way you're processing that?
Yeah. I think for me over time, I've come to realize that Jesus wasn't even part of the equation for me. And I think that's where it goes when you start with, so the terminology is that salvation is found in Christ alone, that we can find salvation in the work of Jesus alone without adding anything to it. And that is almost the opposite of what I believe.
I wanted to interrupt you. I mean, I said Jesus, you have a little bit of Jesus plus something, but you just said all we had was a plus something. We didn't really have Jesus.
And I would argue that that's where you end up. If you start thinking that you have to add something to the work of Jesus, you lose Jesus. It's one or the other.
Because it's ultimately, see, I think you're right. Logically, I think you're right because, you know, Jesus... In some respect, you would probably say Jesus is finished, his finished work on the cross. It is finished. So if it's Jesus plus something else, then it all hangs on that something else, doesn't it? Because
it does.
This is already done. Jesus isn't doing more things.
Right.
Interesting.
And I think that's why I would say I would want to change that for any group that thinks they're the One Right Church, because what makes them believe they're the One Right Church is not the finished work of Jesus.
It's the other things.
It's all the other things.
Well, I think that there are a lot of groups that maybe have never even thought of themselves as One Right Church that are adding things. And it is the things that they add also that make them unique.
Yeah.
It's the things they add that are the things that make them distinctive. You know? I mean, I drove by a church billboard the other day that said, "We sing the old hymns you love."
Yeah.
I thought, really? that's how you're going to sell this to me.
Yeah.
But it was, it's not like, hey, we really just want you to know Jesus here. It's like, we're going to do Jesus and we're going to do this other stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was sad.
Yeah. And I think that, to be fair, I think people might even be trying to get to Jesus, but they think there's a certain way that you have to do it. And I think there was some of that in the things that I remember hearing from my parents, growing up was, we're the One Right Church because we do all these things. We're the only ones that go by the whole Bible. Well, no, we didn't, first of all, but their confidence was in those things that we did. We were the only ones who greeted with a kiss. We were the only ones who didn't go to doctors, things like that. That's how, when they were so focused on making me think this was the one right church, those were the things they were using. And that's why I say Jesus was not a part of it at all. It was just about those things that we did that made us different. Mm. And so that's why I think it's so important, because Paul talks about it in Galatians. Again, this isn't a new thing. There were people who came to faith in Jesus, and then the Judaizers came and said...
Yeah, they were doing this almost first day.
Yeah.
Really, the church, right.
Yeah, they're saying it can't be that easy for you. You can have faith in Jesus, that's great, but you've also got to stick to the law of Moses, whatever, the circumcision, the food restrictions. And Paul came back and said, no, you've been bewitched, is the word I think he uses in the King James, and refers to them as foolish Galatians. Why would you turn back to this? Like, it can seem kind of innocent to have Jesus and add these other things. And I think the Bible's really clear that it is a big deal to do that.
So. Yeah. No, that's a really good insight, that if Jesus' work is finished and I'm just counting on that and something else, then the only variable is the something else, which ends up being the main thing.
Yeah.
And exactly. The defining thing for one right church or just for my own salvation, right?
Right.
Interesting.
Yeah, and you talked about it a little bit, but I hear it in Christian circles even, where it seems like you're hearing a lot of arguments about the things that are not faith in Jesus. They're the other things, whether it's your mode of baptism or whatever it is, who can take part in communion, who can't, whatever people will argue about. Those then become the things that identify them, and you end up with a whole, a different denomination even.
Over time, that has happened. Yeah. Now it's probably more your political persuasion that causes the sorting and the, if you believe in Jesus and you have the right political persuasion, then you're good to go. But
Yeah, that's a common one now for sure.
So you would say that you would really press to say, let's do Jesus only.
Jesus only.
Okay.
Yes.
Or Christ only. So
yes.
How do you, let's start back at the beginning. How do you get that from the scripture then?
Yeah. Well, you mentioned already Jesus saying it is finished from the cross, that he has paid for our sin, that there is nothing that you can add to it. What would you add? We've talked about that on here before. Paul's a great example. He talks about all the benefits that he had, the reasons to boast in the flesh, and he says he counts them all loss for the sake of knowing Christ. And then he goes on to talk about, I don't come with fancy words, but I just profess to know nothing among you but Jesus Christ and him crucified. And he says that he boasts in nothing but the cross of Christ. There's nothing. I think Ephesians 2 will tell you that salvation is not a work of yours. There's nothing for you to boast about, that it's in the person and the finished work of Jesus.
I just wanted to check and make sure you're not making this up. That's all. Yeah. But really, this one of the simplest things is just John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Yeah.
No one comes to the Father except by me.
Yeah.
And Jesus is the only way. In other words, there isn't Jesus. No one comes to the Father except by me and something else.
Right.
There's not that. Yeah.
So where you would get some pushback, and where I have heard some pushback on that, is how do you come to Jesus? there's got to be a way that you come to Jesus. It's the idea
meaning
of
what?
When Jesus says no one comes to the Father except through me.
Right.
Well, it's too easy to just come to Jesus. You have to, it's this idea of you've got to clean yourself up first. You have to be presentable to him. Because just anybody could do it then. And in the place that I was, we were the only ones, so there has to be a difference. It can't be that easy that you just come to Jesus. And so it's really that idea of it being too easy that is challenging for people.
Well, okay, how do you come to Jesus? Right? That was what you said.
Right.
That was your objection. You were putting up to me like, God.
Yeah.
Well, Jesus actually uses those words, right?
Yeah.
Come to me.
Yeah.
All who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. How are you going to come? You're going to come worn out and tired and dragging and broken and disappointed and all the things.
Yeah.
That's how you qualify.
Yeah. Yeah. And that does not fit in with the prideful, arrogant attitude that I had when I was there, when I thought I was better than everybody else because I was in the right church doing the right things. And I thought that Jesus was going to be pleased with me, I guess, when he came back. It sounds so ridiculous to say now. I'm sorry. It just does. But it wasn't until I realized that I was weary and heavy laden. It wasn't until I was willing to admit that I needed Jesus. And then when you realize you need him, then he is the only way, the only place to go. But before that, I just didn't feel any need to. And I just thought that people aren't coming to, all these people who say they've come to Jesus, that's just too easy, was kind of the, I had nothing to back that up. That's just what my mind thought.
I mean, that's such an interesting, we've talked about this before, but that's such an interesting objection.
Yeah.
That is too easy.
Yeah.
Because what makes it so hard then that it's too easy?
Right.
In other words, it's a very thought that you don't need to qualify.
Yeah.
That makes people who are trying to qualify think that it can't work that way.
Yeah. No, I totally see that now. That it was really pride. When I look back at it, it was really pride. I wanted to be responsible for my own success. I didn't want someone else to do it for me. And I mean, really, I was pretty hard on myself for a long time about that. But when you read, that's all through the Bible too. The Pharisees objecting to the people who are sitting at the table with Jesus and saying, "What? That's too easy. If he's accepting them, what have they done? What are they worth?" And it was comparing yourself to them, thinking you're better. And here Jesus is accepting them and not you. I can definitely relate to the Pharisees when I'm reading the Gospels. So.
But I was just thinking about the wedding feast that we talked about a few weeks ago in church. And after, I think it was the third try, the servants went out into the roads and gathered all whom they found, both bad and good.
Yeah.
Okay, what are the qualifications? Well, you either have to be bad or you have to be good.
Right.
There you go.
Right. Yeah.
You know, let's put them in two categories, and both bad and good. Both came.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. It's good. No, I've probably talked about the thief on the cross on here several times because it was so impactful for me. Because if we're thinking that we have to do something before we can come to Jesus, I mean, how do you reconcile the thief on the cross? He's cursing Jesus with his friend, and then all of a sudden he's not anymore, and just says, remember me when you go into your kingdom.
He didn't even really say the right words.
No.
Yeah.
So what, is that too easy? I mean, Jesus says, today you will be with me in paradise. So I can't really argue with that.
He didn't do any works, that's for sure. It was too late for him.
Yeah. But, I think the other part of it, too, is I think when you say it's too easy, you're talking about it's too easy for you. That's too easy for me. That's letting me off the hook or whatever. But when we think about it wasn't easy for Jesus. It was a high price that was paid. And I think part of it is I didn't know that Jesus was God. At Followers, that if anybody did know that at Followers, I never talked to him about it. I mean, it was not till right before we left, really, that I understood that. And to think that God comes and pays this price for us, so that we can, through faith in Him, have peace with God. To say that that's too easy, I think we need to understand better.
Well, I think I'm going back to my whole it's too easy, therefore it's so hard.
Yeah,
that's the thing that I can't get over in this conversation is just that the prospect that it's hard because it's too easy is a good indication of actually what is at stake. Because what's at stake is me ending up having to say, it really doesn't depend on me.
Yeah.
You know, because if I think it depends on me and I've done pretty well, therefore I'm good.
Yeah.
Then it's hard. Then I'm working and I can count on something. But if I have to say, you know what, it's just, it's too late for me, or I'm not good enough, or I haven't done enough, or whatever, and I'm willing to admit that and accept what Christ has done for me, it's hard for me to accept that. That's the thing. There is like no easy in this. It's
right.
Either hard to accept this free gift from Christ, or it's hard to work your to work your own way, and you really can't do it. So it's impossible. So hard it's impossible. So
yeah.
Anyway, I just think that's I never really thought of it as being hard to believe because it's so easy before.
Yeah, yeah. It's somebody brought up in a conversation the story of Barabbas in prison, and they were saying that is representative of us, that Jesus, that Barabbas was deserving of death according to the laws at the time. Jesus wasn't, but the crowd, in choosing Barabbas because they wanted Jesus crucified, they were making the point that this is representative of us, that Jesus took Barabbas's place there.
Oh, okay.
And that he takes our place. And the response to that was, I don't know if I can agree with that. That just makes it sound like we don't have to do anything. And I'm like, that's the objection, that there has to be something that we have to do. Mm-hmm. To earn it. And I just want to ask, what could it possibly be? Like, what are you going to offer? What's your offer?
Well, I mean, you can argue it from that way. I mean, what is so good about you that God would, choose you? Or you can go from scriptures. Because I was just thinking of all this conversation made me think about Colossians chapter 1, beginning verse 13, and I want you to listen to what both sides do here, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, so we're going to start on his side. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything thinking he might be preeminent. This is kind of, that's kind of what's at stake, is his preeminence, right?
Yeah.
For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. And you, who were once alienated and hostile in mind, so there's our part, right?
Yeah.
Doing evil deeds. Okay, there's more for us. He has now reconciled in the body of his flesh by his death in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him, if you, indeed you continue in the faith. I mean, that, so it really clearly paints this, the story. The story is all, it is all one-sided.
Yeah.
And you're going to have to gulp and say, that one-sided story is exactly what I need.
Yeah.
If it's going to include you, really.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, and there, I love that. There's nothing in that about if you work hard and
if you do this, he'll transfer
and
you.
Become worthy.
If you get close to the line, he'll make sure you get over.
Right.
Nothing like that. No. He transferred us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son, period.
Yeah.
He did it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's great news that he did, because there's, you know, it is not possible. It, Galatians 2 says that if righteousness were able to be attained by the law, then Christ died for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a mixture of the two. If you're going with the law and your works, then Christ died for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but if you put your trust in the finished work of Jesus, then you can, believe me, these people that think they are having to work for it, they are the weary and heavy laden. I mean, it is exhausting. And when you realize that it's all been for nothing, then it's so great that Jesus is there saying, come to me, because that's exactly what you need.
Provided you realize it's all for nothing early enough.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you could realize that too late.
Yeah, for sure.
That would be really disastrous.
For sure, Jesus says people will, right? In Matthew 7, they will come to him with their resumes. That's why I was asking early, what are you going to offer? If you think this is dependent on you and something good, what are you going to offer?
I visited him in prison. I
prophesied
water,
in your name.
Yeah, all the things.
I cast out demons. I mean, I remember reading that and going, if they didn't make it, what chance do I have? And reading and understanding it that way, and now it's like, oh, hey.
Yeah, that was probably a good thing to add there.
Yeah.
I was just thinking about the way you started by saying it's the one thing you'd change about the One Right Church. Frankly, I would change this about everybody.
Yeah.
About every heart. Every heart that thinks that they're going to have to somehow earn their way to heaven. I mean, I don't care where they are on Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm.
They've got to get to this. You know, they've got to see Christ alone. And so, yeah, I would broaden the change.
Yeah. I think that getting this wrong heads you in all kinds of wrong directions.
Mm-hmm.
I frankly don't think you get anything right if you get this wrong.
That's really a good, clear way to say it.
Yeah.
You don't get anything right if you get this wrong.
Yeah. Well, one of the hymns that we would sing out there was Only Trust Him. And it says, come every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord, and he will surely give you rest by trusting in his word. Not by something that you do, but by trusting in his word. Only trust him, only trust him, only trust him now. He will save you, he will save you, he will save you now. I have no idea how I sung that for so many years and just didn't have any idea what it meant. And when I was done singing this, I would try to figure out how to save myself, after singing this. For Jesus shed his precious blood, rich blessings to bestow. Plunge now into the crimson flood that washes white as snow. Yes, Jesus is the truth, the way that leads you into rest. Believe in him without delay, and you are fully blessed. And it's It's just that simple. It's not easy, but it is just that simple. And I think we've talked about that before on here.
Right.
What Jesus did was enough. Who he is enough. And you can trust what he says in the Bible. And so I would hope that people would do that without delay and be fully blessed.
That's good advice from your hymnal.
Yeah, it is. I sang that a lot of times. Yeah,
so. That's cool.
Well, hopefully this has been helpful. If you have questions or comments or a topic that you would like us to cover, you can reach us at comments@onerightchurch.com. And for more information, you can visit our website, www.onerightchurch.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.